is needed the most.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
What is going on here? I demand an explanation.
We work for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
An intelligence organization that fears intelligence, historically, not awesome.
The United States is a democratic nation. Here the people rule. We build no walls to keep them in, nor organize any system of police to keep them mute.
Freedom isn't free at all, but it comes with the highest of costs.
We have you, the listeners, and the hosts at Revolution Radio.
Radio. Radio.
For allowing us to bring you a platform of free speech.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Strange sliding noises moved up to, then past the door, then returned, then finally faded away. Taking the high-pitched noise with them, Ken collapsed into his bed and woke up for early morning roll call with both weapons still by his side. No one else has observed anything odd that night. But as for the guard dog, it became utterly submissive from that point onward.
During the Vietnam War, U.S. troops constantly reported encounters with large primates in the mountainous, jungle-covered Central Highlands. The creature was described as about 6 foot tall, twice the size of the largest monkeys and apes of the region, a bipedal, ground-dwelling primate covered in brown or reddish-brown hair like an orangutan. The trouble is, there are no orangutans in Vietnam. These encounters, sometimes violent, have been derided and ridiculed over the past 50 years, and few serious attempts have been made to look into these stories, aside from some rather poor documentaries on mainstream TV. In order to establish whether the veterans' stories could be credible, it is necessary to dig further into Vietnam's past. If an unknown species of primate exists in the remote regions of Vietnam, it would have been reported before the Americans arrived in the country in the early 1960s. Digging around in the available literature reveals a surprising fact. Ape-like wild men have been reported in Vietnam all the way back to the early 19th century, when the region came under French control as Indochina and was progressively explored by missionaries and adventurers. In fact, I have discovered that the first reference to what came to be called rock apes dates from 1820. The focus of these encounters is the Central Highlands region, a long chain of hills and mountains in the central and southern part of the country. Before the arrival of U.S. forces in country, the Central Highlands had barely been explored by Westerners. The fierce hill tribes managed to keep the French and the Vietnamese at bay. But the few Frenchmen who did penetrate the region reported that something humanoid was living in the jungles, something unknown to science. One of the first stories of rock apes emerged from French ship's captain L. Ray in 1820. He described a story told to him by a French Jesuit missionary who claimed to have encountered, quote, a race of men with tails, unquote, in Vietnam. The hill tribes called them Moi, meaning wild men or savages. 10 years later, in 1830, Father François-Isidore Jacquelin, another missionary, wrote down similar stories concerning the highlands of Cambodia, but dismissed them as, quote, a ridiculous fable, unquote. But the stories persisted. In 1895, Paul de Anjoy, a respected anthropologist, published an article about his adventures in Indochina, in which he claimed to have discovered a population of wild men with tails in Vietnam's Central Highlands. He said he had been journeying from Bien Hoa north towards Cambodia, and his party had even briefly captured a specimen. D'Anjoy's alleged discovery made the front page of the New York Journal, but it was widely ridiculed all over the world. But the notion of a missing link primate living in Indochina remained popular, and one of D'Anjoy's most powerful supporters was future French World War I Prime Minister Georges Clemenceau. In 1912, a book was published in Paris by Henri Maître, a renowned explorer in Southeast Asia. During his explorations in the Central Highlands, he recounted, quote, "The natives of these areas shelter a peculiar and legendary beast. I refer to the wild man. It is not the first time that I've heard their curious legend of nomadic human creatures living in mountainous forests and having a tail like a monkey," unquote. Maître made the observation that the animal was almost unknown on the plateau regions, which are covered with grass and scrub, but were feared in the deep, dark forests of the mountain ranges. Maître described the animal as less than 5 feet tall, with a thick coat of reddish hair, and interestingly, this description was identical among several different peoples in different parts of Vietnam. Maître himself was killed by hill tribesmen in 1914. Further encounters were reported by French officials in the 1920s, and in 1947, French officer Jules Arroy reported during a march with a contingent of indigenous troops encountering what was described as an homme sauvage in the mountain forest, an animal he said was, quote, neither human nor monkey, unquote. Arroy's indigenous sergeant told him that the creature was well known to the Highland peoples, who never hunted or ate them. Arroy added in an article he wrote for the Association of Combatants of the French Union that his native soldiers reacted strangely. Quote, "The simple fact of having encountered it filled all of the men of the column with joy," unquote. Almost as soon as U.S. soldiers began to enter the Central Highlands in the 1960s, stories began to emerge of an ape-like creature in the forests. There are many stories, too many to recount here, but it is worth mentioning that it was the first time in history that large numbers of humans had entered these remote areas. Dongden Mountain lies some 5 miles from the coastal city of Da Nang, an important U.S. base during the Vietnam War. The mountain rises 2,900 feet above sea level and is jungle covered. In 1966, the 3rd Marines had erected a divisional outpost and landing zone atop the mountain, as well as a radio relay station. Incredibly, the Marines manning the station reported a series of attacks, not by Viet Cong guerrillas, but by unidentified animals. These animals threw rocks into the base compound, injuring some of the Marines. This happened on multiple occasions. The Marines christened them rock apes, and the name has stuck. The series of encounters were jokingly referred to as the Battle of Dong Den, and the location renamed Monkey Mountain. Rock throwing has been observed in both wild and captive chimpanzees. In 1968, Company M, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, reported having rocks thrown at ambush teams near Monkey Mountain. In 1969, a patrol from Company D, 1st Battalion, 502nd Infantry Regiment, resting and having lunch on Nyo Mo Tan Ridge, 10 miles south of Hue City, reported an encounter with 8 rock apes that came walking along the trail into their position. Initially mistaking the brown coloration for North Vietnamese army uniforms, the Americans opened fire. The alpha male rock ape repeatedly charged the U.S. soldiers through the undergrowth, with the other 7 animals moving away. Typical behavior noted, for example, in gorillas, where the silverback will charge an intruder, buying time for the rest of the group to flee to safety. As I said, there are hundreds of such stories of encounters with rock apes from the Vietnam War. Some are undoubtedly cases of mistaken identity. Vietnam has several species of monkey and primate, including the white-cheeked gibbon, but these animals can only grow to about 3 foot tall and live mostly in trees. Many of the descriptions GIs gave of rock apes are uniform in their features, 5 to 6 feet tall, bipedal, powerful, covered in brown or reddish-brown hair. Australian war reporter Wilfred Burchett, who covered the Vietnam War on the ground, wrote about his efforts to track down wild men that were said to inhabit the mountains along the Vietnam-Cambodia border. He interviewed locals who claimed to have seen the creature, noted that the hill tribes had managed to keep the French out of their territory, as well as the Vietnamese in the past, perhaps explaining the very few recorded encounters between non-native peoples and the rock apes. So, can a large, new, unrecorded primate species exist in Southeast Asia? Well, you may be surprised to learn that a completely new species of orangutan was recently discovered. Isolated ape populations do exist in the region. In 1939, it was reported that orangutans had been sighted in the Bantong Toro area of South Tanuki in Sumatra in Indonesia. The orangutan is native to Borneo and Sumatra, but its existence in the Tapanuki region was only confirmed in 1997 and was recognized as a separate species in 2017. Then there are the cases of animals very similar in appearance and behavior to the rock apes being reported in other parts of Southeast Asia. There is the case of Orang Pendek on Sumatra, a supposed short, ground-dwelling bipedal primate with reddish-brown fur. Dutch settlers in the region reported several encounters with this mystery beast in the 19th and 20th centuries. Locals have revered this creature for generations and don't doubt its existence. In Hubei province, China, there have been consistent reports of an ape-like wild man named the Yeran, described for centuries to be living in the remote mountainous forested regions of western Hubei. In Malaysia, there is the Orang Mawas, reported to be inhabiting the jungles of Johor. It has been described as about 10 feet tall, bipedal, and covered in black fur. A similar creature has been reported in the southern jungles of Thailand, called Bahunak. So in summary, great apes in the form of three species of orangutan are found in Southeast Asia. There is also a wealth of indigenous legends and stories throughout the region discussing unidentified ape-type people living in very remote regions, and then the more scientific observations of European colonists that explored these inaccessible places from the mid-19th century onwards. French, Dutch, and British colonists all reported unidentified primates across Southeast Asia. The Vietnam War pitched hundreds of thousands of humans deep into areas of Indochina hardly explored or even visited before, into areas that native populations had tried to avoid through fear or superstition surrounding an unknown primate collectively labeled the Wild Man. The animal displayed typical primate behavior towards intruders in its range, including throwing rocks, earning it its famous nickname from baffled US soldiers. But perhaps most interestingly is the fact that North Vietnamese soldiers also encountered such a beast, with the same description and behavior, providing corroboration for some of the GI's jungle tales. The North Vietnamese took the story so seriously that they even sent scientific expeditions into the jungles to try and find irrefutable evidence. And surprisingly, the Vietnamese expeditions did find physical evidence for the existence of the rock ape. In 1970, during the Vietnam War, the Pedagogic University in Hanoi sent an expedition that found unidentified footprints. Whatever made them was unknown to science. Also in 1970, Dr. John McKinnon, a British zoologist, observed tracks in the Vu Truong Nature Reserve that led him to believe an unclassified hominoid lives there. In 1974, General Hoang Minh Tao of the North Vietnamese Army ordered an expedition to find evidence for the rock ape's existence, and Professor Vo Quy of Vietnam's National University found...
Whoops! Excuse me. I hit the wrong button. Well, I'm sorry that ended that story. I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button on the computer. Sorry about that, kids. The top three eerie Sasquatch encounters on military bases. Many military bases covered. We've covered a couple, but they cover hundreds of square miles of rugged and isolated terrain. This fertile remote ground has provided an unusual amount of Squatch sightings. From the south to the Pacific Northwest, from forest to desert, military personnel report numerous sightings of large, hairy, ape-like creatures. Any official records of such sightings are kept classified, of course. Many soldiers are forbidden to speak of it. Well, unless you're posting something on BFRO.net. But some leak anonymous reports to Bigfoot researchers and other military personnel unofficially and quietly confirm them. Here are three of the most compelling and eerie Sasquatch encounters on military bases. The first, the Joint Base Lewis-McChord sighting. Back in 1978, Edwin Godoy was a soldier stationed at Fort Lewis in a heavily forested area of Washington State. One night, a truck broke down on the base. The commander ordered the soldiers to return to base by foot and instructed Godoy to guard the truck until it could be towed in the morning. Shortly after midnight, Godoy was surprised to see a giant creature covered with hair standing about 300 meters away in the pine forest. The creature had a broad chest and powerful build. To Godoy's shock, its eyes glowed red, even though the moon was behind it and there was no other light source. The creature charged at Godoy. He commanded several times for it to halt, then fired into the air. As the creature continued to race towards him, Godoy fired at it. The creature clutched its chest, moaned, and ran off into the forest. Unnerved by the encounter, Godoy locked himself in the truck for the rest of the night. Well, here's my question. First of all, you aim for center mass and you unload the barrel. Why didn't he track the wounded animal? Godoy reported the story to the mechanics who came from the truck, who in turn reported it to base and then to scientists who appeared on the scene. The scientists took samples of the creature's footprints and the blood spilled from the gunshot wound. Godoy was examined and debriefed by an Air Force medical officer who asked very specific questions of Godoy's symptoms. Then Godoy recounted the entire story from the base commander for the base commander and ordered him to never mention the story to anyone or face a court-martial. Later, a friend who worked in the base's lab informed Godoy that the amazing evidence yielded surprising results. The blood sample contained a strange combination of human blood cells, animal blood cells, and chlorophyll. Oh, did it now? Did it? The Edwards Air Force Base sighting. Edwards Air Force Base is located in the desolate Mojave Desert in California. In the early 1970s, guard duty here usually meant turning away curious UFO hunters. Motion sensors and night vision scopes alerted the guards to any intruders. One guard reported to his lieutenant a, quote, very tall, hair-covered ape-like man wandering the desert floor. Two men observed the creature through a tripod-mounted night vision scope while they reported the sighting. A few minutes later, a base helicopter arrived with a searchlight. The creature fled and could not be found. I'm not quite certain how Bigfoot could outrun a helicopter. The next day, the lieutenant was ordered to observe the report, but not to disturb these creatures when they appeared, as they might be connected to the extraterrestrial activity in the area. A major at the base confirmed that in the next few years, the creatures were seen several times on surveillance cameras, often in underground tunnels beneath the base. However, he denied the creatures had any extraterrestrial connection. Well, remember a few years back, people were going to charge Area 51? We don't need that anymore. We just need to somehow get a tracker or plant a small camera on a Bigfoot, because apparently they just wander Area 51 bothered by no one. Bothered by no one. The Fort Leonard Wood Army Base sighting. In 82, Eric Youngdahl was in training at Fort Leonard Wood Army Base in Missouri. One night, the soldiers piled into a large truck to be dropped off for guard duty around the base. From his seat at the tailgate, Youngdahl admired the early evening scenery for about a half hour when the truck slowed at an intersection. Youngdahl spied a large creature. I spy something tall and furry. He described it as 7 feet tall and covered in light brown hair. He had a glimpse of the creature for maybe 10 seconds before it disappeared. See, that's the issue, kids. You've got to make sure you're Johnny on the spot when you view Bigfoot, because he or she is going to move quickly. Youngdahl, as you can imagine, was too stunned to alert the other soldiers in the truck. But once on guard duty, he warned his partner. The partner became nervous, and the two guards stayed close together all night to make sure neither accidentally shot the other once it became dark. Might be a problem. The night passed on eventfully. Youngdahl did not report the sighting to his comrades. Interesting. Well, there you go, folks. So apparently Sasquatch is interested in Bigfoot, I'm sorry, UFOs in the military. But, you know, what do I know? From our friends over at Top Secret Writers. This is odd, kids. There's odd, then there's odd. But apparently it's very odd.
like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Scarf it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself go by.
I don't know. I just like that song. All right, folks, we are coming upon the top of the hour break. Assuming Ancestry.com is correct in assuming that me and my sister and I both have the same biological parents, which I believe we do. I, ladies and gentlemen, only represent 36% of the African continent. So, I don't know about you, but I'm going to start claiming some white privilege, kids. White power. I think I'm a white supremacist now. I'm only 36% from the continent of Africa. So white power. That's all I got to say. White power. White power, my my brothers. In the spiritual sense, not the racial sense. White power, my brothers. I got that from my sister. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, looking at all the African countries, and I went, okay, there's that, there's that, there's that. And I went, boy, well, there's a large percent. I mean, allegedly 20% from Ireland. 20% from Ireland. 22% from Germanic Europe. Telling you, kids. Interesting. So I'm no longer going to identify as half. I'm just going to start calling myself a Euro-African American. Can I do that? Can I do a U? No, I didn't do it. My sister did it, Pat. And then she said, you want the results? I'm like, I suppose she sent me a picture. So, oh my gosh, Pat. I always thought Mario reeked of also. White power. That's what I'm going to start saying from now on. Can I say Euro-African descent? Can I say that? Although my preference is always to say, who are you? Well, what are you, Mario? But I don't know. There you go. I figured Flesh. I rely very little on him, but I thought it was just slightly interesting. But I was talking to my aunt. I had no idea that my grandfather was married three times. I always forgot that. Which is, my grandfather was married three times. My maternal grandfather. My mother married and divorced three times. My father married and divorced three times. I mean, interesting. Those things happen in threes, as they say, right? I don't know where that comes from. Maybe we'll discuss that on Thursday. Next hour, we'll head over to our friends over at Dark Histories. This week's edition.
And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We're already here. Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia, tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Freemanity Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love, on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what call.